Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're going to be exploring how churches have navigated the digital world, especially since the pandemic forced a lot of changes.
Yeah.
We've got a great article here from Christian Culture News that really dives into all of this.
Interesting.
But first, I'm curious, have you noticed any changes in how your own faith community has been adapting to this new landscape?
Yeah, it's definitely been a fascinating evolution.
Oh, yeah.
You know, what's striking is how churches have had to fundamentally rethink their approach to everything from delivering sermons to building community, all within this new digital space.
Yeah, it's a huge shift, right?
It is.
I mean, think about it. Before 2020, attending church usually meant, you know, getting dressed up.
Yeah.
Heading to a physical building, sitting in a pew.
Yeah.
Was that pretty much the standard experience across most denominations?
Yes. For centuries, the physical gathering was the heart of religious practice.
Right.
So this sudden transition to online worship was a monumental event.
I bet. It wasn't just about figuring out how to use Zoom, was it?
No.
Churches had to adapt quickly to all sorts of technology they might not have been prepared for.
Exactly. Even churches that had some online presence weren't necessarily equipped to handle the scale of this shift.
Yeah.
Church leaders were suddenly grappling with live streaming, online giving platforms, all sorts of new tools, all while trying to stay true to their traditions.
What were some of the biggest hurdles they faced in those early days? I imagine there was a lot of trial and error involved.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
One of the major challenges was ensuring that online worship didn't feel like a pale imitation of the in-person experience.
Right.
Churches had to think creatively about how to translate the essence of their services to a digital format.
So it wasn't just about setting up a camera and hitting record.
No.
What specific tech emerged as essential for churches to make that connection with their congregations online?
Live streaming platforms like YouTube Live and Facebook Live became lifelines, allowing people to participate in real time regardless of physical limitations.
Right.
But beyond that, churches started to explore various online platforms.
Okay.
From Zoom for interactive prayer meetings to dedicated church management apps.
Speaking of those church management apps, what made those so impactful?
Okay.
Did they offer features that went beyond just basic administration?
Absolutely. These apps often included tools for communication, event planning, and even small group management.
Wow.
Helping churches stay organized and connected with their members in a more streamlined way.
Yeah.
It's interesting to think about how these tools not only helped churches adapt during the pandemic, but have actually become essential for many congregations, even as in-person gatherings have resumed.
That raises a good point. Would you say the variety of online worship formats that emerged went beyond just replicating the typical Sunday service?
Definitely.
Okay.
We saw a real diversification in the types of online experiences offered. Some churches opted for pre-recorded sermons with polished production.
Okay.
While others prioritize interactivity through live prayer meetings and virtual Bible study groups.
Right.
This kind of tailoring allowed them to meet the diverse needs and preferences of their members.
That makes a lot of sense, especially considering people learn and connect in different ways. Did each format have its own unique benefits in terms of reaching people and fostering engagement?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Pre-recorded sermons allowed for more polished presentations and incorporated multimedia elements. Interactive platforms like Zoom fostered real-time connection, allowing for discussions and shared prayer requests.
Yeah.
Virtual study groups offered a space for deeper learning and continued fellowship outside of the traditional service format.
It's really fascinating to see how churches embrace this idea of meeting people where they are.
Yeah.
Not just physically, but also in terms of their preferred ways of engaging with faith.
Yeah.
But even with all this innovation, there must have been challenges in replicating that sense of community that's so central to the church experience.
You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
Building community in a virtual space required a whole new set of strategies.
Yeah.
Churches had to get creative experimenting with everything from virtual coffee hours and online support groups to social media challenges that encouraged interaction and fostered a sense of belonging.
It's interesting how even seemingly small things like a virtual coffee hour could have a big impact.
Yeah.
Did these initiatives help combat the isolation many people were feeling, especially during lockdowns?
They really did.
Yeah.
These virtual gatherings tapped into our fundamental human need for connection and routine.
Okay.
Which became even more critical during such uncertain times. Think about it. How did you stay connected during those challenging times?
I definitely relied on video calls with friends and family.
Yeah.
Just seeing their faces and hearing their voices made a huge difference in feeling less isolated.
Right.
I can only imagine how vital those virtual connections were for people seeking support and a sense of community within their faith community.
That's precisely what we saw.
Yeah.
Churches realized that fostering community online
right.
wasn't just about recreating in-person events.
Right.
It was about finding new ways to meet
mm-hmm.
the emotional and spiritual needs of their congregations in a virtual space.
So they had to consider the human element just as much as the technical aspects, right?
Absolutely.
What were some of the specific strategies that churches employed to make people feel truly connected and supported online?
They went beyond just offering virtual versions of existing events.
Hmm.
We saw churches creating online support groups tailored to specific needs.
Okay.
Using social media to share inspirational content and encourage dialogue, and even organizing virtual prayer circles where people could share their joys and concerns in real time.
It sounds like they were really putting a lot of thought into how to translate that sense of belonging to the digital realm.
Right.
Did they face any pushback or skepticism from those who felt that online interactions couldn't truly replicate the in-person experience?
There were definitely some who missed the physical presence and rituals of traditional worship.
Right.
But what's remarkable is how many people found unexpected benefits in the online space.
Oh, wow.
People with mobility issues or those living far from their church communities suddenly had access to services and fellowship.
Right.
Others appreciated the flexibility and convenience of online options.
It seems like this forced adaptation opened up new possibilities and helped churches reach people who might not have been able to participate otherwise.
Yeah.
But I imagine there were also some hurdles along the way.
Sure.
Did churches face any technical challenges or limitations in creating these online spaces?
Absolutely. Technical glitches were a common occurrence,
yeah.
especially in the early days of live streaming.
Yeah.
Not everyone had access to reliable internet or the necessary devices,
right.
highlighting the digital divide that exists even within faith communities.
Mm.
And of course, there was a learning curve
okay.
for both church leaders and congregants
mm-hmm.
in terms of navigating new platforms and technologies.
It sounds like a lot of problem solving and adaptability were required.
Right.
Did churches find creative solutions to overcome these challenges and make sure everyone could participate regardless of their technical expertise?
Yes, they did.
Okay.
Many churches offered tech support and training sessions for their members, helping them get comfortable with online platforms and tools.
Right.
They also experimented with different formats and technologies to find what worked best for their communities.
Okay.
Constantly seeking feedback and adapting their approaches based on the needs of their congregations.
It seems like this whole experience forced churches to become more agile and responsive to the needs of their members.
Yes.
Did this lead to any valuable lessons learned that churches could carry forward even as in-person gatherings became possible again?
Absolutely. One of the biggest takeaways was the importance of accessibility.
Mm.
Churches realized they needed to be intentional.
Okay.
About creating inclusive spaces both online and offline.
Right.
This meant addressing issues like the digital divide.
Yeah.
Ensuring online content was accessible to those with disabilities.
Okay.
And finding ways to engage people who might not feel comfortable in traditional church settings.
It sounds like the pandemic, in a way, accelerated a shift that was already underway.
Yeah.
Did this experience push churches to embrace technology, not just as a temporary fix,
yeah.
but as a fundamental part of their ministry going forward?
You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
The pandemic forced churches to confront the reality that the future of worship is likely to be hybrid, blending the best of both online and in-person experiences.
Okay.
This means churches need to continue investing in technology training
right.
and creative approaches to engagement if they want to thrive in this evolving landscape.
Right.
And it raises an important question for you.
Okay.
What skills or adaptations do you think will be most crucial for organizations in the future, regardless of their field?
That's a great question to ponder.
Yeah.
It seems like adaptability, embracing technology, and a willingness to learn and evolve are key takeaways.
I agree.
Not just for churches, but for all of us as we navigate an increasingly digital world.
Right.
But before we get too far ahead of ourselves,
okay.
Let's delve a bit deeper into the specific challenges and opportunities that churches faced in adapting to this new reality.
Yeah. You know, it's fascinating how the pandemic really accelerated a trend that was already emerging.
Right.
We were already living increasingly digital lives.
Yeah.
Before 2020. So in a way, it seems like churches were simply catching up to where people already were.
That's a great point. We were already shopping online, connecting on social media,
right,
and streaming entertainment.
Yeah.
So it makes sense that faith communities would eventually need to adapt to that same digital landscape.
Exactly. And now that churches have made that leap,
mm-hmm,
they're starting to explore the unique possibilities that technology offers.
Okay.
It's not just about replicating the in-person experience.
Mm-hmm.
It's about using these tools to create entirely new forms of engagement and spiritual connection.
I'm really curious about that. What are some examples of how churches are leveraging technology to create these new kinds of experiences?
We're seeing some really creative approaches.
Oh, wow.
Some churches are using virtual reality,
okay,
to create immersive tours of holy sites,
mm,
allowing people to experience those places in a way that wouldn't be possible otherwise.
Yes.
Others are experimenting with interactive prayer apps that guide people through different forms of meditation and reflection.
Those sound amazing. I can see how those kinds of innovations could deepen people's spiritual practices and create a sense of connection that transcends physical boundaries.
And think about the implications for global faith communities.
Yeah.
Suddenly, geography becomes less of a barrier to connection and collaboration.
Wow.
A small church in rural America could connect with a mega church in Nigeria,
huh,
sharing resources and learning from each other's experiences.
It's like the internet is creating this vast interconnected network of faith communities.
Right.
Which is a pretty remarkable concept. But let's shift gears for a moment.
Okay.
And talk about some of the challenges that come with this digital shift.
Sure.
We touched on the digital divide earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Can you elaborate on why that's such a significant concern for churches as they move further into the online space?
It's crucial to acknowledge that not everyone has equal access to technology.
Right.
Or the skills to navigate the digital world.
Hmm.
The digital divide can be a significant barrier to participation.
Okay.
Particularly for older congregants,
yeah,
those in low-income communities,
right,
and people with disabilities.
So it's not just about having a smartphone or a computer.
Yeah.
It's about having the knowledge and confidence to use those tools effectively, right?
Exactly. Yeah. And that's why many churches are taking proactive steps to bridge this gap.
Okay.
They're offering TEP training for their members,
hmm,
providing devices to those in need.
Okay.
And partnering with community organizations to increase digital literacy within their congregations.
Those initiatives sound incredibly important in ensuring that everyone can participate in the digital church experience. But beyond the issue of access, are there other concerns related to inclusivity and accessibility in online faith spaces?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
We need to consider how to make these digital spaces welcoming and accessible,
right,
to,
yeah,
people with a variety of needs and abilities.
Mm-hmm.
That means ensuring online content includes features like closed captioning,
right,
audio descriptions,
mm,
and keyboard navigation for those who need them.
It makes sense that those same principles of accessibility that apply to physical spaces would also apply to the digital realm.
Exactly. And it's not just about technical considerations.
Mm.
It's also about fostering a culture of inclusivity online.
Mm.
Are there clear guidelines for online conduct?
Right.
Is there a way for people to report harassment or discrimination if they encounter it?
So it's about creating safe and respectful environments online, just as we would in a physical church setting.
Precisely. And this requires ongoing effort and attention,
okay,
from both church leaders and members.
Right.
It's about creating a shared understanding,
yeah,
of how to interact with each other in these digital spaces.
Yeah.
In ways that are kind, compassionate, and respectful.
It sounds like a lot of intentionality is required to build that kind of online culture.
It definitely does.
Yeah.
It's not something that happens automatically.
Right.
It requires clear communication,
mm-hmm,
thoughtful guidelines,
right,
and a willingness to address issues as they arise.
Now let's circle back to those hybrid models we were discussing.
Okay.
It seems like many churches are trying to find that sweet spot,
right,
between online and in-person experiences.
Yeah.
But I imagine it's a delicate balancing act.
It is.
What are some of the challenges that churches are encountering as they try to create these hybrid models?
One of the biggest challenges is figuring out how to create a seamless experience.
Okay.
For those attending both virtually and in person.
Right.
You don't want the online participants to feel like they're just watching a live stream of something happening somewhere else.
Right.
And you don't want the in-person folks to feel like they're being ignored.
Yeah.
Because the camera is focused on the stage.
That's such an important point. It sounds like it requires a whole new approach to designing worship experiences.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Churches are experimenting with different solutions.
Okay.
Some are incorporating interactive elements into both the online and in-person experiences. Others are designating specific roles for online participants,
right,
like virtual greeters or prayer leaders.
Wow.
The goal is to find ways to make everyone feel like they're truly part of the community, regardless of how they're participating.
It seems like a lot of creativity and flexibility are required to make these hybrid models truly successful.
Absolutely. And it requires a shift in mindset, both for church leaders and congregants.
Okay.
We need to move beyond the idea that online is a substitute for in-person.
Right.
And embrace it as a unique and valuable form of engagement in its own right.
That's a really important distinction.
Yeah.
It's not about choosing one or the other.
Right.
It's about recognizing the value of both and finding ways to integrate them effectively. But it makes me wonder, are these hybrid models just a temporary solution?
Okay.
Or is this a glimpse into the future of worship?
It's a fascinating question to consider.
Yeah.
I think it's safe to say that the pandemic has permanently altered the landscape of religious practice, the convenience, accessibility, and expanded reach of online platforms have become too valuable to abandon.
So we're likely to see these trends continue to evolve and shape the future of faith communities.
Exactly. And it's not just about adapting to the current digital landscape.
Okay.
We need to consider how emerging technologies like artificial intelligence, virtual reality, and augmented reality will further transform the way we experience and express our faith.
Now that you mentioned those technologies, I'm curious to hear your thoughts on their potential impact. Are we talking about AI pastors and virtual reality pilgrimages? What are some of the possibilities and potential implications?
The possibilities are vast.
Okay.
And we're only just beginning to scratch the surface.
Wow.
Imagine personalized spiritual guidance delivered by an AI chatbot or virtual reality experiences that allow you to immerse yourself in different religious traditions.
Those sound like they could be incredibly powerful tools for spiritual exploration and understanding.
They certainly have the potential to be. But as with any new technology, there are ethical considerations to address.
Right.
We need to think carefully about how to use these tools responsibly and ensure they're aligned with our values.
That's a critical point. Technology itself is neutral. It's how we choose to use it that matters.
Exactly. We need to approach these new technologies with both a sense of excitement and a healthy dose of caution. We need to ask ourselves how they can enhance our spiritual lives, deepen our understanding of faith, and connect us more meaningfully with each other.
Right. So as we navigate this rapidly evolving landscape, what would you say is the most important thing for people to keep in mind?
I think the most important thing is to remember that the essence of faith is about connection.
Okay.
Connection with ourselves, with each other, and with something larger than ourselves. Technology can be a powerful tool for fostering those connections, but it's important to use it intentionally and thoughtfully.
It's about recognizing that technology is just a tool, and it's up to us to decide how to use it to create a more meaningful and fulfilling spiritual experience.
Exactly. We have the power to shape the future of faith in the digital age.
Yeah.
It's an exciting time to be exploring these possibilities.
It's amazing to think about how much the landscape of faith has shifted in just a few years. It wasn't that long ago that the idea of attending church online seemed almost unthinkable.
It's true. There was a lot of skepticism about whether you could truly experience the same sense of community and spiritual depth through a screen.
But as we've been discussing, it turns out the answer is much more nuanced than a simple yes or no.
Right.
It's not about replacing in-person gatherings altogether.
Mm-hmm.
It's about recognizing that online platforms offer their own unique opportunities for connection and spiritual growth.
And what's really encouraging is how intentional churches have been in adapting to this new reality.
Yeah.
They're not just throwing things online haphazardly.
Right.
They're putting a lot of thought and care into creating engaging and meaningful experiences in the digital space.
Can you talk a bit more about what that intentionality looks like in practice? What are some specific examples of how churches are approaching this shift in a thoughtful way?
One example is the emphasis on creating interactive experiences.
Okay.
Rather than simply streaming a static service.
Right.
Many churches are incorporating features like live chat Q&A sessions and even virtual small groups to foster a sense of real-time connection.
It's fascinating how they're finding ways to translate those traditional elements of community and engagement to the digital realm.
And it goes beyond just the technology itself.
Better.
Churches are also being mindful of the language they use,
right,
the imagery they choose,
mm,
and the overall tone they create to ensure that their online presence is welcoming and inclusive to a diverse audience.
It sounds like they're really trying to be sensitive to the unique needs and preferences of people who might be engaging with faith online for the first time.
Exactly. And it's not just about reaching new audiences.
Okay.
It's also about providing existing members with more flexible ways to connect and deepen their faith.
Mm.
For example, some churches are offering online Bible studies, prayer groups,
right,
and even spiritual direction sessions,
mm-hmm,
to supplement their in-person offerings.
It seems like this shift is ultimately about expanding the definition of what it means to be part of a faith community.
Right.
It's no longer limited to those who can physically attend a service at a specific time and place.
I think that's a really important takeaway. It's about recognizing that faith can be lived and expressed in a variety of ways,
mm-hmm,
and that technology can be a powerful tool for supporting those diverse journeys.
So it's not just about adapting to the current digital landscape. It's also about anticipating and embracing the possibilities that new technologies will bring.
Absolutely, as we discussed earlier.
Yeah.
Technologies like AI, VR, and augmented reality have the potential to revolutionize the way we experience and express our faith.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine being able to visit holy sites around the world from the comfort of your own home.
Oh.
Or to participate in immersive prayer experiences that utilize cutting-edge sensory technologies.
Those possibilities are both exciting and a little bit daunting. It makes you wonder how these advancements will shape the future of religious institutions and practices.
It's certainly a time of great transformation.
Yeah.
And it will be fascinating to see how these technologies are integrated in ways that are both innovative and aligned with the core values of faith.
But before we get too carried away with what the future holds,
okay,
I think it's important to bring this conversation back to the present moment.
Right.
What are some practical takeaways that our listeners can apply to their own lives, regardless of their religious beliefs or background?
One key takeaway is the importance of intentionality in our relationship with technology.
Mm.
As we've seen with the evolution of online worship,
it's
not enough to simply adopt new tools and platforms.
Right.
We need to be mindful of how we're using them and what impact they're having on our lives.
So it's about asking ourselves questions like,
yeah,
is this technology helping me connect with others in meaningful ways?
Uh-huh.
Is it supporting my personal growth and well-being?
Right.
Or is it becoming a source of distraction or even isolation?
Exactly. And another important takeaway is the power of community.
Mm.
As churches have demonstrated, technology can be an incredible tool,
right,
for building and strengthening connections, even across geographical distances.
Yeah.
Whether it's joining a virtual book club, participating in an online support group, or simply staying in touch with loved ones through video calls.
Right.
There are countless ways to leverage technology to foster a sense of belonging.
And I think it's important to remember that this sense of community doesn't have to be limited to those who share our beliefs or background.
Yeah.
Technology can also be a powerful tool for bridging divides and connecting with people from different cultures and perspectives.
Absolutely. By engaging with diverse voices and perspectives online, we can expand our understanding of the world and challenge our own assumptions.
So as we wrap up this deep dive into the evolving landscape of faith, I'm left with a sense of both awe and optimism.
Yeah.
Awe at the incredible pace of technological innovation,
uh-huh,
and its potential to transform our lives in profound ways.
Right.
And optimism about the power of human connection.
I agree.
And the enduring search for meaning and purpose that transcends any particular platform or technology.
I couldn't agree more. The future is full of possibilities, and it's up to each of us to decide how we will navigate this ever-changing landscape by approaching technology with intentionality, embracing the power of community, and staying open to new perspectives.
Right.
We can create a future where faith and technology work together to build a more just, compassionate, and interconnected world.
On that note, we'll leave you with a final thought to ponder: how can you use technology to deepen your own sense of connection, purpose, and meaning? The answer, as always, lies within you. Until next time, keep diving deep.